They are the salvation. They are the blessings of salvation. But I'll tell you what. Those who think, oh, I'm good. You know, and they think by their own righteousness they're going to appear before God. And by their own works they're going to please Him. By their sacrifices they make. He's going to bring out every little thing they said for them to consider. For by thy words thou shalt be judged, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. You say all kinds of things that condemned you. All kinds of things that will destroy you. My only hope is to look to Christ, who can wipe away the things I've done. And by His grace, I can approach God's throne, finally. By His grace. By His action towards me. By His reaching down to me. Not me, oh God, here's my best. Here are my gifts, my best. I bring it to you. Accept my best. Oh, I was hoping you'd do your best. That's pretty good. You know, people think, oh, God saves me, then we do our best. Wrong. God saves me, my best isn't good enough. He gives me His best. Well, you're going to set people up for disappointment, Paul. Don't speak evil of good things. You don't know what you're talking about. You need to sit down. No, these people can't go facing those giants. They'll be slaughtered. The men of the land are too big for you. You can't fight them. But God has said we can fight them. No, no, we've seen them. They're very tall. There's no way we can make war with them. But God has given us the victory. No, we should not go up. It's too terrifying. That's a reference to the incident when the children of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land. The same thing with sin. Oh, you can't overcome sin. It's too powerful. God doesn't even want you to overcome sin. Just stay where you are. He'll save you right there. You've got to enter into the promised land. That means you've got to get up on your feet and run the race that is set before you. You've got to cross the finish line with the deeds of darkness well behind you, because that's what you're racing against. Verse 38, then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Give us a sign. Well, a perfectly legitimate request. We hear you, they say you might be the Messiah. Well, how about giving us a sign? Verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. I mean, you sort of think, like, what kind of sign do they need? He was healing. And somehow these testimonies to who he was were not good enough. They wanted some sort of bigger sign. You know, like a sign from heaven. Because they had missed all the other signs. And he says, for you, for this evil and adulterous generation that seeks a sign. And I always thought that. I thought, you know, God, I don't want to see a sign. Let me believe, you know, without having seen anything, without any sort of supernatural interference. I asked that as a young man. And then I later came to regret it, because I was like, Lord, I really wish I could see some sort of sign from you. Of your approval or of your disapproval, that you're there. Are you real? Can I have a sign? I thank God that he did not completely withhold from me any sort of signal or sign. I was given a sign and received the Holy Ghost. Well, only something just for me, though. Just like when the Spirit of God descended in bodily shape like a dove on Christ. It's like not everyone was able to see that, you know. I mean, even if they were present, let's say if everyone present saw it, well, there were lots of other people that weren't present. Maybe looking the other way. Or maybe only he saw it. My point is that signs don't always affect everyone equally. And they had missed out on everything so far, and now they want some special sign for them. Maybe this is a party of scribes and Pharisees who really believe in him. And they think if we get a bigger sign, we'll get more people on our side. And he's saying, no, it's evil to seek a sign. Take rather what the Lord gives you. And this is what the Lord is giving this generation. What about adulteress? There's the adultery of the carnal nature, but there's also sort of a spiritual adultery. It is a spirit that goes astray from God is an adulterous spirit. A spirit that is not married to God, but that goes off and that puts other things in the place of God in our heart. That exalts other things to where the throne ought to be in our heart. That is an adultery of the spirit. And it is a figurative adultery, you know. There's always a literal, but there's also a figurative sense in some things as well. Just like the murder being evil thoughts towards people can be construed to be murder in the eyes of God. And that's why I always consider my words that I've said very carefully. I'll look back and say, oh, did I say that? I don't take my own words lightly. And no one should. You know, I go back now and revisit them, lest I be surprised with them on the day of judgment. Do you remember this? Oh, I did say that. It was in idleness. The reason you're judged by your idle words is they reveal an abundance of the heart. It is out of the overflowing of the heart. You know, the things the heart is full of, and things bubble off the top. I see it so many times in people. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's a favorite verse of mine. Because I've observed the truth of it many times. Verse 40. The sign of the prophet Jonah. And we understand this now to be the resurrection. He was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Some people think that means something else other than his burial. To me, it's plain as day. It means he was buried. And he was under the ground. And he was in the heart of the earth. The heart is not, you know, well, that means the center, in the midst, the middle. It doesn't necessarily mean that any more than the fact that the heart is not the center of the body. It's kind of near the top. But, the belly of the earth, the belly of the whale. Again, I should mention the word whale is not in the Hebrew or in the Greek. It means a great fish in the Old Testament. The Lord called, it was said that he had prepared a great fish. A special animal that was prepared to carry Jonah. Now, and also people always say, well, that's ridiculous. A man surviving 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish. Well, who says he survived? He might have died and been raised from the dead. I mean, if it's so unbelievable, then it's obviously unbelievable that Jesus would rise from the dead. You know.